This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Led me through the fire in darkest nights. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will say of the goodness of God. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the good. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness.
Oh, how high would I climb mountains if the mountains are where you hide? Oh, how far I'd scale the valleys if you grace the other side. Oh, how long have I chased rivers from lowly seas to where they rise? Against a rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you need the more or less inclined. I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find. Oh, I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. That's why we'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Whoa, whoa. Oh, how far beneath your glory does your kindness extend apart from where your feet rest on the sunrise to where you sweep the sinners past. And oh, how fast when you come running, if just a shadow me through the night, trace my steps through all my failures, you walk me out the other side. For who could dare ascend that mountain, that valley hill called Calvary? But for the one I call Good Shepherd, like a lamb was slain for me. Oh, I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Whoa, whoa. Wherever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move the mountains, wherever I stand. And if ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. Whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move the mountains, wherever I stand. And if ever I walk through the valley of death, I sing through the shadow my song of ascent, my song of ascent. Whoa, whoa. My song of ascent. Whoa, whoa. From the greatest of all valleys come the pastures we call grace. A mighty river flowing upwards from a deep but empty grave. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I will praise you when the valley's all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
The Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Judge and our defender, suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated.
Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
To be meeting with you. Yes, it's different, but I'm so pleased that I get to connect with you in this way as well. And I especially want to do a really big shout out and a really big hello to all our kids. So I'm going to wave and I'm going to imagine that you're waving back at me. So hi kids, hello. It's so great to see you. Are you there in your pajamas? Are you having breakfast? Have you got your favorite toy with you? Whatever it is, I'm so glad that you get to join us today. I've got to say that I miss seeing your beautiful faces here. I'd love to stand in the foyer and see you all come out to Kids Church. We can't do that today, but we get to do this, which is a little bit different. And what helps me is that I've got hope because I know we're going to get to do that again, won't we? We have to wait a little while and we have to do things a little bit different, but we are going to get to do that again. So I've got that hope. And the second hope I've got is that even though we can't be together, Jesus is always with you. And we can talk to him and we can tell him how we're feeling. And I can talk to him on your behalf. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your mums and dads. And actually, I want to do that right now before we do something else. So are you ready to pray? Let's pray. Let's talk to Jesus right now. Let's do that. Oh, Jesus, I thank you so much that you are always with us. You are with us right now. And that is such an encouragement. And Jesus, I want to pray especially for our kids. I want to pray for just your incredible peace to come upon them, for them to know that they are loved, that they are loved by you, they are loved by family, they are loved by their church family and so many people in the community. I pray that they might know deep down in their hearts that you are with them, that you are listening to them, that you are for them. And I just pray that they know that deeply in their hearts and minds. And Jesus, we want to pray for our parents as well, with the big responsibility and tasks that they have, lots of them to be working at home, but also helping our kids to work. I pray for peace over them. I pray for patience. I pray for wisdom for that tricky maths problem. I just pray for your constant presence and guidance in their lives. And Jesus, we also want to lift before you our teachers who have an incredible job right now, uploading resources, connecting online in ways they haven't done before. We thank you for them. We pray an incredible blessing on their lives. And we pray for wisdom and insight and patience and peace as they do that in your strength. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so earlier on, at the beginning of the service, you were asked to send us a photo of your greatest, or one of, because if you're like me, you've probably got more than one, so it's hard to choose, but one of your greatest holidays. And we have narrowed it down. It was tough, but we've narrowed it down to our top three, and we're going to show them to you now. So coming in at number three, you always start three and you work up, is that right? Coming in at number three, we have the Rosie family. Isn't that a gorgeous photo? We chose that because that photo was amazing. And they are at Fiji. So well done. Thank you, Rosie family, for sending that one in. And our second, wow, I mean, look at that. That looks like the greatest holiday ever. That is Sue there, catching an eagle or an eagle's landing on her. That is incredible. Very impressive. Thank you, Sue, for sending that in. And coming in at number one, probably a little bias here because I was actually on that holiday as well, but we have Julie and Jenny in Israel, in Jerusalem, actually in the Garden Tomb. And that was, yeah, pretty incredible. So thank you so much for sharing your photos with us today. I thought that very briefly before Pastor Craig came up to talk, I might share one of our greatest family holidays. And I'm going to give you some clues, see if you can guess what it is by these clues. You ready for the first one? Okay, let's have a look in my bag. Some sun cream? Any ideas? Probably could use that on a lot of holidays, so probably that's not a good clue. Second one might be help a bit. Beach towel? Getting any ideas? Guessing? This one I think will really help. I'm not going to put it on. You know what this is? Yeah, one of our greatest family holidays that we went on was actually when our kids were quite little. I think we might have a photo actually. Yeah, so quite a while ago. And we went up to Cairns and we went to a place called Green Island. And when I think, why was that one of my greatest holidays? There was a few reasons, but firstly, we only got to go because some lovely people gave us the free use of their unit at a beautiful place called Palm Cove. So we never would have been able to do a holiday like that if it wasn't for their generosity. So I think when I think about that holiday, I think, wow, that was pretty special. And the other thing was that it was a lot of firsts for our family. So it was the first time our kids flew, and just seeing the excitement on their faces. And oh, wow, like one of the greatest things about it was being able to snorkel on the reef off the island and see the coral and the fish and giant turtles. It was amazing. So, yeah, that's one of my greatest family experiences. So what I'd like you to do now is either think about it yourself or talk to the family members that are in your living room or wherever you might be. What made the holiday that you chose as your greatest holiday or one of your greatest holidays, what made that the best or what made that so great? So pause for a little moment, or I'm going to pause for a little moment. You guys have a little chat about that, okay?
Considering what made that holiday the greatest. What was it that made it so special for your family? Have a bit of a conversation about that while I get myself set up here. We've got an amazing team who've been putting this together. Only a small team because we're not allowed too many on site. But amazing team. So I want to say thank you to them. That's been really cool. But what is it that made that holiday the greatest for you? It's actually one of the questions that I ask my family very regularly about kind of experiences that we go through together, whether it be holidays or other experiences. The question that I'll ask is, what is making this experience so great for you? What made that so awesome? So not yesterday, but the Saturday before, as I mentioned last week, Josh and Sienna got married. And after we got back from the wedding and the reception, it was an outdoor reception down at Hardy's Bay, I said to Nathaniel and to Emily and to Carolyn, hey, what was it about today that made today so great? Because we were all kind of buzzing. It was a fun time. And Nathaniel and Em said, oh, Dad, we just loved it because it was so kind of chilled out and relaxed and relational. And it was kind of really cool. It wasn't the formality sort of stuff. It was just really relational. It was fun. It was family. And Nathaniel said, you know, I really love the dance party afterward that we had down at Hardy's Bay. And, you know, I know Floss is so 2018, but hey, why not? That's about the only move I've got. so don't judge too hard. But I asked that question of my family because it tells me what is really important to them, what they value above other things. In fact, I got a sneaking suspicion that over these next few weeks, we're going to be gaining a whole lot of clarity about what is really great, what is really important. I came across a quote this week from one author, and they said, in the rush to return to normal, use this time to consider which parts of normal are worth rushing back to. I really like that. In the rush to return to normal, use this time to consider which parts of normal are worth rushing back to. And you know, in some senses, as our society presses a reset button at the moment on everything that we do, everything that we invest our time and our resource and our identity into, I think it's going to be fascinating to figure out what is really important. What is really important? What is really great that we want to return to? Well, over in Mark chapter 12, we read of Jesus being asked that question about what is the greatest. And in fact, if you've got a Bible handy, you might want to turn there. I think we're going to be bringing it up on the Facebook live feed as well, this Bible reading from Mark chapter 12. And I want to read from verses 28 through 34. It's a passage that I imagine that many of us would be familiar with. And it says this: one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. That's Jesus and the religious leaders of the day. And noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. These are verses that are really important to us here at Narara Valley Baptist Church. Really, these verses are the foundation stone for our whole vision of being a church that is desperate for God and passionate for people. And I've got a strong conviction that in this uncertain and unsettling season, that we're going to experience a whole lot more of what it really means to press into desperation for God, to really express passion for people. As I said last week, to be the church rather than just attend a local church. And if you're open to it, I believe that God is going to leverage this experience to grow you in some amazing ways. We've said this year that our theme is good soil. And I think that in a weird kind of providence of God way, that what he's going to do in this season even is he's going to be lifting out some big rocks that have been plaguing our lives for some time, or he's going to be pulling out some weeds that maybe paring back everything is going to reveal. Maybe this can be a season where increasingly God is going to make you good soil. So Jesus has asked this question. What is the greatest? What is the greatest? Teacher rocks up and says, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? There's about 613 commandments in the Old Testament. We don't have a reminder on our phones. We don't have a greatest commandment of the day app yet. So what is the greatest commandment? Can you boil it down for us into what's the greatest? Well, as I said here before, Jesus didn't boil it down to one. He boiled it down to two. And he said the first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, next week, Pastor Will, probably not in his dressing gown next Sunday, although being Will, he may well do this, he's going to actually explore the love the Lord your God bit. Now, we're kind of doing it in reverse order. That's okay. But Will was so keen to be speaking into the whole thing of loving God with all of who you are. But this morning, I want to jump into the bit about love your neighbor as yourself, particularly in this cultural moment. What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Jesus here is actually quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting from the book of Leviticus. Now, Leviticus, of all the books in the Old Testament, is probably the one that gets the worst rap. Leviticus is regularly known as the cure for insomnia. I mean, if you can't get to sleep, read Leviticus for a while, because there's law after law after law, and there's ceremonial laws and purification laws and all these laws. And are you allowed to say this in church? It kind of gets a bit boring sometimes. However, Leviticus 19 is quite different. Leviticus 19 is what I call the don't be a jerk chapter of the Bible. It lists out all these things that God's people shouldn't be doing. And when you read a lot of them, you kind of scratch your head and you go, really? There's a commandment for that? Like, that's just common sense. That's common decency. Why do they have to put a command in about that? So, for example, in verse 13, it says, you know, don't take your neighbor's stuff. They're your neighbor, for crying out loud. You know, it's not going to end well for them, and it's probably not going to end well for you if they see their stuff in your home. That's dopey. Don't be a jerk. Or then down in verse 16, it says, don't do something that is going to endanger the life of your neighbor. Like, they might die. So don't do that. That's stupid. Don't be a jerk. Probably the most interesting one for me is in verse 14, where it says, don't be mocking or insulting deaf people because they can't hear you. That's like a low act. And then it says, and don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Like, who does that? Who intentionally puts a trip hazard in front of a blind person so they go whoop and trip over it? You know, say it with me. Don't be a jerk. But at the end of the passage, after telling the people what not to do, and let's be honest, the bar is not set very high. These are just commands about common sense and common decency. At the end of all that, God then says to his people, so love your neighbor as yourself. God lifts their vision from the low bar of don't be a jerk to something far more noble, something far more life-giving and awesome. Maybe, you know, maybe instead of doing that other jerk kind of stuff, maybe you could love your neighbor. Try that. Maybe you could love your neighbor. In fact, there's two parts to this, isn't there? There's the love your neighbor, but there's also the recognition that loving yourself is a thing. It's a thing. In fact, let me speak very briefly into this whole love yourself thing, because I've seen people take it to extremes, neither of which are helpful. They either take it to what I call the turkey extreme or the torch extreme. All right. At one end of the spectrum are the turkeys. And these are people who read this, you know, love yourself thing, and they use it as a proof text for self-centeredness, for greed, and for selfishness. The way they read this particular part of the verse is they say, well, you know what? I've got to love myself first. I've got to make sure that my happiness comes first. I've got to be at the front of the line. I've got to feel comfortable. And then when I feel happy, when I feel comfortable, when I'm loving myself, maybe then I can start to love others. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. That's just being a turkey. That contradicts the very essence of selfless love that Jesus both taught and modeled. Now, at the other end of the spectrum are the torches. And the torches don't practice any self-care, any self-love at all. And they burn themselves out after looking after everyone else, and they shine bright for a while, but then they burn out. So what is Jesus saying here in this love yourself bit? Well, I think at one level, it's a simple recognition that we do love ourselves. It's part of our existence. When my body gets hungry, I feed it. Or when my body and my mind get tired, I sleep. I care for myself. I love myself in that way. But at a deeper level, I think it's also a recognition that I bring me when I love my neighbor. And if I'm running on empty, and if I'm completely depleted, and if I'm emotionally, spiritually, and physically spent, I'm not bringing the best me to love others. In fact, I was watching the Valley Youth TV on Friday night, and again, big shout out to Lewis and the team. That was just epic. That was so, so good. Eternity, one of our Year 12 girls, she did a devotional on this. And a big shout out to Eternity. You nailed that devotional, because she was talking about this notion of self-care and of self-love, and she did so well. And so if you want to show a bit of love to Eternity and to watch the Valley TV thing, go ahead and do that. But she just nailed that. That we do need to practice appropriate self-care so that when we love others, we bring the best version of ourselves to do that. Because I don't know about you, when I get really tired, sometimes I can bring my grumpy self when I have to love others. Or sometimes I can bring my resentment self when I go to love others, rather than doing it out of the overflow of a healthy me. You know what? As I was preparing for this morning, I just felt really led that, you know, so many of us right now are going through such a challenging time, particularly over the last fortnight. And you know, many of us have been kind of in self-isolation. The government hasn't mandated total isolation yet and total lockdown, but it's likely that that's on the way, I think. But I know that for my week, I've gone from Zoom meeting to Zoom meeting to Zoom meeting. I've had pastoral care situations, communications, planning, just a frantic week of crazy levels of busyness. And I know that many of us have had even tougher weeks, fortnights than I've had. In fact, what I want to do this morning, I want to give a bit of a shout out to a number of different groups of people. And what I want to do in a few moments, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. And so I'm going to name just a few situations and a few groups. And if that's you, so that we know who we're praying for, if that's you, all you got to do on the comments area is just type in, that's me. Just those two words, that's me. And I want to be praying. And if you can identify, hey, you know what, that's me, then these prayers are for you as we do that this morning. So as I call, make a few shout-outs this morning, just type that's me if that connects for you. So the first group, I want to give a big shout-out this morning. I want to pray in a few moments for parents who are trying to work from home at the moment, but also balance that with a homeschooling thing. And you've got kids who are set up on the dining room table or at desks trying to use multiple devices, and all the while you're trying to be faithful to your employer as well. And it's a tough and it's a draining gig. And if that's you, I want to encourage you, just type in there, that's me. That's me. If there are teachers who are trying to migrate all their work from a face-to-face platform to an online platform, and at the same time there's still some kids in a classroom, because oftentimes these are kids of those in the medical and health professions, and you're just trying to serve these kids and their families, but at the same time move all this information. You've got term two staring down the barrel at the moment and it seems overwhelming. Just type that to me, because I want to pray for you as well. For those who are in the medical and the health sector who carry huge burdens at the moment, I've spoken with some of you and I know that you're doing an enormous job and it feels overwhelming. You guys are heroes for the rest of us. We want to affirm you and encourage you. I want to pray for you. And if that's you this morning, I just want you to type, you know, that's me, because I want to pray for you in a few moments. Some of us have got family or very close friends who are overseas right now, and it's parents or it's siblings, or it's people we've done life with for some time. And there's this sense of helplessness that we can't be there for these people. And we want to be. We want to be able to just give them a big hug, potentially at a social distance level. But we want to be there for them, but we can't right now. And it's like a blanket over everything else we do right now. And if that's you, I want to pray for you this morning, so you can just type, that's me. For those of us who have lost a job recently, or our hours have been cut back, and I know that there are some within our church community and a whole lot within our broader community around here as well, and you've lost your job, or it's been cut back significantly, or you're now starting to queue up with hundreds if not thousands of others at Centrelink offices, and you think to yourself, man, how did I end up in a queue outside Centrelink? This wasn't the plan going into 2020. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you as well. Or if there are some of us who are living with a sense, just this overwhelming sense of heaviness, and it's not just one thing, it's like an accumulation of stuff over and over, and we go, oh man, I just feel down right now. I want to pray for you as well this morning. I don't have access to our Facebook feed from here, but I'm tipping that there are probably a few. I'm just getting a thumbs up from Dean, our camera guy. Yeah, there's a few of us, and that's us this morning. One of the really hard things at the moment is, as your pastor, I can't physically be there. I know I talked to Carol. Carolyn was up here earlier, and I know she would love just to embrace the kids of our church. She misses you guys so much. But one of the things I can do for you, there's a whole lot of other things we're doing as well, but one of the things I can do is I want to intercede for you as your pastor. So will you bow your heads with me and we'll pray together. Let's come before God and bring these situations before Him. Oh God, there are so many of us right now that are feeling the weight of this thing in so many different ways, whether it be mums and dads or grandparents at home who are trying to look after kids, whether it's our health workers, whether it's our teachers, whether it's those of us with family overseas, whether it's those of us who are queuing up at Centrelink, whether it's those of us who have just got this overwhelming sense of heaviness. God, you know each and every situation. Each and every situation. And God, you don't draw alongside and simply go there. You draw alongside as one who knows grief firsthand. You draw alongside as the sovereign God who is still able to make a difference. You would draw alongside as the God who presences himself with us and says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You are the God who draws along and alongside and says, so do not fear, for I am with you. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And God, I pray for each one of these people who type, that's me, this morning. God, I want to pray for each one that probably is going to type that in even after this gathering together digitally today. And God, I pray that they might know your presence, that they might have an overwhelming sense of the presence of God through the Holy Spirit today. Might they have a fresh understanding, and more than just an understanding, but an experience of the presence of God in their life. God, I pray not only for presence, I pray for power. I pray that you would give us power, that you would give us the spiritual, the physical, the emotional resources that we need to keep going. Lord, for many of us, we are facing really challenging times. For some of us, Lord, we're having to change skill sets. Lord, I think of some of the nurses we have in our congregation, and they're having to change their skill set so they can be available to provide care in this new context. Lord, I pray that you would help them to be able to do that. Would you empower them? Lord, for those who are kind of getting a bit of cabin fever right now, I pray that you would strengthen them as well, that you would give them power. Lord, would you give us presence? Would you give us power? And Lord, would you give us peace? Lord, a peace that passes all understanding, that even though there are things that are beyond our control, Lord, would you fill us with your peace? As Carolyn said earlier, Lord, I pray that peace might come out of hope. Yes, hope that one day COVID-19 is going to be in the rearview mirror. But Lord, but also our hope in Jesus, that there is nothing that can separate us from him. And Lord, that one day we shall be seeing you face to face. Lord, might you just give us a peace that passes all understanding. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. So it's been a crazy week, right? On Wednesday, after working big hours and trying to attend to a whole lot of stuff, I felt like I was becoming, well, not a turkey, but a torch. And probably wasn't practicing, if I'm really honest, wasn't practicing particularly good self-care. And I got home on Wednesday night, had some dinner, and I went into our study, and I felt God kind of, you ever had this before? God just calling you in. You know when you're a parent and you got a little kid and you say, hey, come up here and sit on my lap, or come here and be with me. I felt that was kind of happening from God. And I spent a bit of time in the scriptures, reading the word, a bit of time in prayer. And then I got online and I was going through YouTube, some YouTube worship clips and that sort of stuff as well. Because I find for me that one of the things that really builds me up as I try to engage with God is worship. It's adoring him. And there's a song that's come out only in the last week or two at Elevation Church. It's called The Blessing. And Kari Job leads that one with her husband. And I was in tears. In fact, I've asked Lewis if he would put up the link to that in this feed so that you might be able to enjoy that as well. I think that that's it's a song in season for many of us, as they proclaim what's called the Aaronic blessing, the blessing of Aaron from the Old Testament, to incredible music. And it was just this beautiful opportunity to worship God. Carolyn has prepared a page, and that page has a whole lot of options for our kids to be participating in with their folks. It's available on the NVBC Kids Church Parents Facebook page. And so there's some options Carolyn has provided there about how you can practice self-care, how you can love yourself. So it talks about spending time talking and listening to God, just like I was talking about there, doing some activities that you enjoy, you know, eating well and sleeping and exercising, talk about how you feel,
you know, paying attention to how you feel, using some breathing exercises, and that's a great resource for our kids. So mums and dads, I want to encourage you, download that and work through that with your kids, because they need some of these sort of resources as well. And I got a message from Adam Burden. Big shout out to Ads. And Ads had sent me through a link to an app. And it's an app called the 1 Minute Pause. And it's this opportunity just to pause, to reflect on Scripture, to breathe, and to be aware of the presence of God. And you can set it up to do that a few times throughout your day. And it starts with a 1 minute pause, and then there's a 3 minute version, then a 5 minute version. But man, I found that so helpful. Just this very practical exercise of going, oh, all right, God is here. God is present. And that refills the tank. So I want to encourage you, love others from a place of a healthy you. Then it says, and the main commandment would seem is love your neighbor. And I got to say, not the sort of pride that, you know, that God says God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, but I am so proud of this church, so incredibly proud of this church. The ways in which people have been caring for one another and showing love to their neighbour, even this week, has been incredible. Let me give you a few of the highlight reels. You may recall that last week we provided, and I think we're going to do it again later on, I'm not sure, those little flyers that you can put in your neighbours' letterboxes, and people have been doing that and establishing kind of little Facebook groups for their street potentially, or making their literal physical neighbours around them aware that, hey, we're here to help and to, you know, to help you out with groceries, or if you have to self-isolate, you know, we can do stuff to try to make that more bearable for you. And that's been incredible. I got a call on Friday from Emmanuel Vassallo. Big shout out to Emmanuel. And as you may recall, a few weeks ago when we actually gathered here in the main auditorium, I was sharing with you that Emmanuel is a farmer, and he's got a market garden up at Somersby. And Emmanuel calls me up, and he's like always enthusiastic, this guy. I love him. He's awesome. He says, hey, Craig, I've got these boxes of fresh produce. I've got, I think it was like about 4 boxes of capsicums, and I think it was a couple of boxes of zucchini or cauliflower or something like that. And he said, I've got these boxes, but I can't take them down to Paddy's Markets. It's closed or something. And he said, maybe Coast Shelter could use that to feed the homeless. And I said, well, I'm not sure if Coast Shelter is actually doing that right now. I think they may be providing sandwiches at lunchtime, but let me make some calls. Made some calls, and it turns out that there's a group of believers on the coast, and I'm starting to get involved with them a bit as well now. And this weekend they're feeding about 100 homeless and disadvantaged throughout the coast, and they've had conversations with restaurateurs and chefs who don't have a whole lot to do right now. And they're making these meals, packaging the meals and delivering them to the homeless and the disadvantaged. And they said, man, we could use that fresh produce, Emmanuel's beautiful fresh produce, and we'd love to be able to do that. And so I said, yeah, let's get the produce from Emmanuel's farm up at Somersby down to North Avoca, which was the central point. So I called up Matt Kelly, and Matt, I said, Matty, I need you to, you know, would you be able to do this for me? He said, yeah, no problem, Craig. And, you know, Matty's loving his neighbour by getting the food to where it needs to go. And the idea is that this weekend about 100 homeless people would be fed, and the idea is from there to scale it up a lot more, probably tenfold, to not just the homeless and the disadvantaged, but to those who have recently lost jobs, those who can't have access to fresh food. So we'll see how that tracks in days to come. But people are just loving their neighbours left, right and centre, which is awesome. And I want to continue to encourage you. How do you do that? Let me give you four quick things. Firstly, and this might sound counterintuitive. Firstly, love your neighbour as yourself. Sorry, that's the main thing. My apologies. Firstly, where possible, stay at home. Where possible, stay at home. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to be talking about some practical ways for loving your neighbour, mostly from your own home. But there are some that can be still done safely just in your neighborhood around you, your little bubble, as I think they're calling it in some parts of the world now. But you know what? Staying at home, washing your hands, limiting the spread of this virus is one of the most loving things that you can do right now. But more than that, for many of us, staying at home is actually an opportunity to love the closest neighbors, which is our families. I actually think that in years to come, kids might look back on this season and go, you know what, this was an awesome time when I got to, I don't know, play board games with mum and dad. This is an awesome time when we just got to hang out as a family in an unhurried way. Maybe you could love your neighbor at home first. Secondly, as I said, those flyers from last week, have some conversations where possible with neighbors around you and put those in letterboxes, those two flyers from last week. They're in the feed from last week if you want to go there. Thirdly, Baptist World Aid have launched an appeal to love our global neighbours, and we're putting a link up in this feed for how you can contribute to that. Now, I know that for some of us, we're starting to struggle financially, and that might be a stretch, but I want to encourage you because there are people in developing countries who don't have the medical, the health infrastructure that we do here, and these developing nations are going to be desperately needing education tools. People are often living in closer proximity. And so if you would be willing to and able to give to that, that would be great. And the fourth thing is prayer. Prayer. As I said last week, prayer is not our last resort, it's our first resource. And as we've been praying this morning on multiple occasions, I want to encourage you to continue to be a person of prayer in this season. Pray for our national leaders. Pray for our health professionals. Pray for our teachers. Pray for our families. Pray that they'd find either a vaccine for this thing or really good treatment measures. There's a whole lot that you can be praying into. In fact, this morning, as Bernie was mentioning earlier, straight after our live stream this morning, we're going to be having a digital prayer room. And the digital prayer room is going to be operating through Zoom, and we'll probably, as people come into the Zoom kind of main room, we'll break some people up into different breakout rooms. We can do that so people can pray in more discrete digital spaces, if that makes sense, so maybe with about two or three others. But we want to make that available because we, at this time as the church, need to be the church. We need to rise up in prayer and in practical ways to love our neighbour. So as Marcia and Jeff lead us in one more song, I want to ask you this morning, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? We've covered a fair bit of ground this morning, but what is God saying to you? I want you to spend a moment now just in quietness and go, okay, what is God saying to me? And Lord, what do you want me to do about that? What are you saying to me? And what do you want me to do about that, Lord? Thanks, Marcia and Jeff.
So we're just going to sing one more song together. One of my favourites, it's Hosanna. And I love the bridge in this. I pray that God breaks our hearts for His kingdom, for our neighbours, for our family, that we might love them as He loves them.
I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing. People say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Generation rising up to take their place. selfless faith.
Presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.